Another way of looking at the community, according to the scripture, is a body. So I got a question for you. If you are a part of the body, what part are you? Now, don't be yelling it out, because then you're betraying yourself and you think you're something and you're all a bunch of vocal cords, right? But think about it for just a moment. If you're part of the body, what part are you? Do we have any hands? Is there anybody here who's a hand? Okay, it's okay to raise your hand if you're a hand. And ironically, it will be okay to raise your hand even if you're not a hand. Do we have any eyes? Do we have any ears? Is there a heart in the group? I'm partial to kidneys. Yeah, think it through, whatever. No kidneys? Oh, we got a, you're pointing to someone else who's a kidney? Okay. Oh, do we have any hair? Some of you have our hair, you know. See, we think of ourselves in these ways because these are the parts that everybody thinks about. Let me ask you this. How many of you consider yourself an appendix? How many of you even know what an appendix does? Now, doesn't that kind of resonate with some of us? It's like, I know I'm here, but I'm not really quite sure how I fit yet. Maybe you're an appendix. How about a gallbladder? We got any gallbladders here? You cannot be them all. Sorry, doesn't work. Sweat glands? We got any sweat glands? All right, we got sweat glands, because, you know, it's really uncomfortable building up all the pressure and stuff like that. How about, oh, I know one, taste buds. Do we have any taste buds? Nobody's a taste bud? Now think about what happens in a body that doesn't have an appendix. Well, okay, we don't know what happens. You don't have appendicitis, I suppose. But what if you don't have any taste buds? I can tell you that's a drag. It really kind of destroys the enjoyment of a lot what God gives us. We are a body. Today, as we talk about community, we talk about belonging. Now, this is one I've preached on, being part of the body of Christ, being part of community, probably literally 50 times in my years in ministry, easily 50 times. And I honestly don't think I've ever called it this. I don't think I've ever said, this is about belonging. But as I was talking with the other leaders and putting this little outline together, it seemed to me that this is pretty important. It's important for us to understand this concept of belonging. It's important for us to understand that we belong, first of all. Because if we don't get that we belong, then we don't connect with the body. And now we're like these parts that have just been chopped off, floating around loose. That doesn't work. Doesn't work for us. Doesn't work for the body. There's a sense of well-being. There's a sense of connectedness. There's a sense of integration into something bigger and greater. There's a sense of belonging. Belonging means that we fit somewhere. That we are where we are supposed to be. And the drive for belonging is responsible for a lot of decisions that people make that get us into a lot of trouble. Because we want to belong somewhere. And when we don't feel like we belong, then we'll go after wherever. But belonging isn't just important for us. It's important for others as well. If you're the ear, if you're the heart, if you're the brain, if you're the sweat glands, see, those are all important to the function of the body. What happens when the body doesn't have those? The body hurts. The body's not able to function well. But what about when those things are all there and they're working together? Then, even a small body, even a body that doesn't look like everybody wants the body to look like, even a body that doesn't have the size, the importance. That body can do an awful lot. Preparing for this, I was in some discussions this last week with different people, and one of them was about ministry. It was a ministry, by the way, just means service. It means doing things with others and for others, right? And the discussion was, it was back and forth because it was about the fact that we don't have enough people to do the things that we want to do. But then we have to put that into perspective, because that's true. And I'll tell you right now, that will always be true. Because no matter how many of us step forward and are faithful and serving, the reality is we can think up more things to do, right? And we find other things that God puts on our hearts, and we want to do so much. But I just did a little quick research, and it was interesting to note that in this congregation, we have, on a weekly basis, over 200 different ministries being done by volunteers. Now, some of those are not being done by different people. In other words, some of you are doing more than one. But that's an awful lot of things happening. We have somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 to 80% of the membership, and that's very conservative, actively involved in using whatever part they are contributing that to the body. 75 to 80%. That's huge. In case you're not aware of it, the norm is 20 to 25. So shouldn't we be sitting back celebrating? Shouldn't we be sitting back going, wow, this is fantastic. We're really great. No, we shouldn't. Because we can ask ourselves, are we all serving to our potential? And what about the others? It's not a matter of, no, well, it's never good enough. We're just never going to be good enough, even though we're never going to be good enough, because that's true. We're human. But it's a matter of where we set the bar. Do we set the bar where the world sets it? Or do we set the bar where God sets it? And I was very encouraged when I started looking at those numbers. But as I started looking at those numbers, I also started seeing names. And I wasn't just looking at statistics. I was looking at names and people I know and people who are not connected in serving in any way. People who begin to then drift away because there's not that sense of belonging. And I see a direct correlation. And this is maybe the thing that I need you to hear the most. When we sense belonging in ourselves, when we see we really fit here, we really belong here because we are invested in relationships, we're invested in serving, we're connecting with one another, we grow, we're healthier, because that's how God made us. When we don't do that, for whatever reason, we begin to pull away from the body. And as we continue it, because we can always repent and come back, but if we continue that, we end up like these disembodied body parts floating across, and then we just fade away. That's not how God intended us to be, and that's not what makes us part of the community. So we need to hear some things, and the first of those is that we belong to the same body. We belong to the same body. When I say we, I mean anybody who has accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And there's two levels, I suppose, of that. When you talk about the church, there's a small C church. That's the congregation. That's here, North Orange Christian Church. And we're a weird congregation, as most in Southern California are. We have an average attendance that floats anywhere from 250 to 300. And when I say an average that floats, yeah, that doesn't make much sense, but that's kind of us. That's real. It just depends on the day. It depends on the season. It depends on what's going on. But the interesting thing is we have an active involvement of double that. Now, you don't see that happen in Kansas. In Kansas, if you're part of the church, you're there, period. You're worshiping every single week. You're connected because that's just the tradition. things are different here. That's not a good thing. That's us being influenced by the world around us. Because if every one of us was really connecting to this body that we're part of, then we would literally double that worship time together. And when we do that, it's not about numbers. Can we be real there? If we wanted to be 4,000 or 5,000 people right now sitting here, actually we would be sitting somewhere else. We were on track to do that. We can do that. It's not rocket science to fill seats. But that's not why we're here. We're here to facilitate a passionate personal relationship with Jesus Christ that leads to lifelong discipleship. And that's a lot different than filling seats. That means people truly being part of the community, truly belonging. And the more that we do that, the more we're able then to reach out and involve others and help them do that. That's why God put us here. That's our mission. We belong to the same body. Let me read something that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12 that kind of illustrates what we just saw up here. In the 14th verse, he said, "The body is not one member, but many. So if a foot says, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body,' it's not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body,' it's not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God," now watch this word, "God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired." See, we think this is a matter of we are making decisions and we choose this place, this place. And there's a level where that's true, but God uses that process and puts us together. And if you feel that you're not the same as other people around you, you have a heart for something a little bit different, then you need to pay attention here, because maybe you're that ear or the eye or something that's missing. Being like everyone else is not what makes a strong body. Being who God made us to be and then fitting together is what does that. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," or again to the feet, "I have no need of you." Because the bottom line is, we belong not because we feel we fit, and not because someone else thinks we fit. We belong because God placed us as he desired. We belong to the same body. So there's two groups of us that we need to pay attention to. One is those who don't feel that they fit in. Now, I'm not going to ask you for a show of hands, but I'll guarantee you there's people here who are in that group. People who don't feel they fit. "I'm not like the others." I cannot tell you how often I hear that when I'm talking to people one-on-one. I'm not like everybody else. Well, honestly, in the first place, you don't know everybody else, so it's kind of hard to say that. But in the second place, if that's true, well, good. Because maybe you're the part we need the most. So being not like others is not a bad thing. Some of us think, "Well, I'm just not as gifted." But what we're doing is we're looking at specific gifts, specific abilities, and saying, "I'm not like them." Well, okay. So what? They're not like you either. And what that means is they've got gifts and abilities that God has given to the church by giving them to the church, to the body. And so do you. And some say, "I just don't feel like I'm as important." And if you don't feel that, let me just tell you, what you're dealing with is something you brought here. Now, I'm not going to tell you that we're perfect and that we make everybody feel important or feel good. We do not, because we're as messed up as you are. We're all humans. We've all got our problems. But we tend to feel about ourselves a certain way, and many of us have bought a lie that we're just not as good as other people. I think we are overrepresented in the church for the simple reason that the gospel has a message for people who feel that. And that's intended. That's something that God did on purpose. So those who don't feel that they fit in belong to the same body, but those whom others don't feel fit in do as well. And that one's interesting. That's where we who are here, we who are a part of the body, have to kind of step back and look at ourselves and look at each other and say, do we have any unwritten screening rules that a new person coming in sees and says, I guess they don't want me? In some places, it's because of what you look like. I honestly don't think that's an issue here. If you look around, there's somebody who's going to look pretty similar. I don't care if it's because you're young, you're old, you're male, you're female, you're different ethnicity. We pretty much got everybody. But as soon as we get a little bit deeper than that, we can still fit into this. We can still find ourselves thinking, you know, I'm not sure they're like us. I'm not sure they're the type that should be here. And as soon as we do that, we've just betrayed that we don't have the same heart as the God who put this body together. So those of us who are here, who know we belong here, we need to realize something, and that is there's no one whom God has drawn here who does not belong here. Literally no one. Now, some have behaviors that don't belong, but they don't belong anywhere else either. So maybe we ought to be just looking at the behavior. But I don't care what about that person makes us say, I don't know, they just don't belong here. The fact of the matter is, the Lord came and died for anyone who does not know him to give us all the opportunity to come to him. And when we come to him, we become part of the body. We belong here. We need to get that inside ourselves. And then we need to be able to communicate that to others. It doesn't matter if I feel good about it. Doesn't matter if you feel good about it. The fact of the matter is, we belong not because of what we feel, but because of what God has done. Now, we need to move on to a couple of other things. One of those is an understanding that our body is unique. This body that we belong to is unique. Now, they all are. I'll grant you that. But we've got to get hold of that, because that uniqueness is part of the sense of belonging. And there's a couple of things that we need to look at in order to understand that. In the first place, we are unique when it comes to the world. And this is hard for us to understand, because so many times we want to fit with the world. We want people to see us and accept us. We want to feel good about being with other people. We want to fit in. But the problem with that is we don't. In John 18:36, we see the reason. Now, this is Jesus speaking, and he's speaking about himself. But this body we're talking about is the body of Christ. The people we're talking about belonging to are those who belong to Jesus, right? So here's what Jesus said. In John 18:36, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world." So what does that tell us? If we're fitting in with the world, we're not fitting in with Jesus. And as much as I like fitting in with the world, as much as I like that lack of conflict, that sense of people accepting me, the reality is, if I am going to fit with anybody, Jesus is at the top of the list. And if fitting with Jesus means I don't fit with others, then I guess I just don't fit with others. So we're unique in the sense that we are not of this world if we belong to Jesus. And yet we are in the world. How does that work? Well, let me read you another passage. And this one's really obvious, but we hear it all the time and we don't necessarily hear what it means. So I'm going to give you just one example of this in the New Testament, and it's in 1 Thessalonians, the first verse, the first chapter. It's Paul writing the classic introduction. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace. So Paul's writing to them, and he's writing to who? He's writing to the church. How many of you have heard the word church? And how many of you have said, today I'm going to go to church? Yeah. See, we misuse this term. Drives me crazy. And I drive you crazy because I kind of harp on it, right? Yes? What does that mean? The word church is ekklesia. The verb is ekkaleo. And the reason I'm going to go into that Greek is because we know these words. Ek is to come out of, and exit. See those words over the doors? Exit. It means go out. So if there's a fire, you don't want to go into the fire, you want to go out, and that's why those words are over the doors. It's to make sure you know how to get out. Ek is out. Call. You know what call is, right? That word, call, is where we got our English word, call. It's for me to yell out to you or to single you out. Say, hey, you, come out. Ek call. The O is just a verb ending. So it just means to call out. What does that mean? We have been called out of the world. And yet, we're left in the world. When the Lord called me out of the world 45 years ago, frankly, I would have preferred he just take me then. You call me out of the world, I belong to you, I'm on this spiritual high, this would be a great time for me to just be with you, Lord, and nothing else. Didn't work that way. And your very presence says it hasn't worked that way for any of you either. So what's that about? I grew up in the military. And every now and then, way too often for my taste, my dad would come home and say, we are being stationed somewhere else. Anybody know what that phrase means? Stationed somewhere. That means someone decided you're moving. You're going over there instead. And to a 10-year-old kid, I thought that was pretty absurd. Seriously, you're telling me I've got to pick up, change my whole life, go wherever that is, Omaha? Yes, that's a good thing now, but it wasn't then. What does it mean to be stationed? It means that there's something that they wanted my dad to do in a certain place, so they're going to send him there. They weren't saying he was going to be there forever, and they weren't saying he was going to become part of that area, belong there. Certainly didn't happen when he was in Greenland, but that there was a job to be done. We are called out of the world, but then we're stationed in the world. We're left here to do a job. The body itself is left to do a job, but the body, all of us, are unique compared to the world because we've been called out of it to be in it, but not of it, to have different values, different priorities, even different associations, because we recognize how important it is for us to be connecting with one another. And we need to remember what Paul said. This isn't happening because we've decided to do it. This is happening because God is placing us as he desired. We've been arranged. And if we doubt the arrangement, we never get to be who he made us to be. We don't get to really belong. But not only is our body unique, we are unique. Each of us is made in God's image. Each one of you has been given abilities, experiences. Each one of you has been shaped sometimes by very difficult things. You developed attitudes that maybe are a little hard for the rest of us to take, but I'll bet you God uses those attitudes if you'll surrender them to him. Some of you are skeptics, and others will believe anything anybody says. And all you have to know which one it is to be a friend on Facebook with them, right? Because some of you are just throwing all these things out there, and the rest of us are going, what? Are you not aware of a site called Snopes? And we're the ones then, those skeptics, and I'm one of them among us, who, you know, we're going to look it up. We're going to find out. And then when we figure out, yeah, that's phony, then we feel the desire or the need or the mission, perhaps, to let the rest of you know by posting that Snopes thing and saying, yeah, this is a fraud. Some of us listen to others, and others don't. Some of us think very highly of ourselves. Maybe a little too highly, but those are the ones who are willing to just jump out into something. Others, we tend to look down on ourselves. And almost every single situation for either one, I can, with 10 minutes talking to you, I can tell you why. It's not rocket science, it's easy. But see, we who look down on ourselves, we tend to be a little bit less jump in, and we think it through just a little bit more. Now, you put the two of us together, and we make an amazing team. Some of us are big idea thinkers, global conceptual thinkers, and others couldn't handle a concept if our life depended on it. But here's a car that's not working, here's a computer that's not working, and you walk in, and I swear it's like you've got a magic wand, and you go, and it works. You know, it's as though you should be wearing Jedi robes or something. Each of us is unique. We were created that way. And then everything that's happened in our lives, including the hard things, including the things we wish never had happened, add to who we are. And if we let him, God can use those as strengths, not as weaknesses. So it's not just the body as a whole that's unique, it's each of the parts. And that's why we belong. We belong. You do. I do. We are to be in relationship to each other because we have been appropriately placed and we fit where God has placed us. That's what belong means. We do it because we're children of God. We belong to God. In John 1:12, it says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. But God's children are not all the same any more than yours and mine are. And we do it because we belong to Jesus. That's still part of to God, by the way. Acts 27:23, for this very night, an angel of the God to whom I belong, Paul says, and whom I serve, stood before me. Did you get that? The Apostle Paul is using that verb, I belong. And if anybody in the New Testament would start off as somebody who did not belong, it would have been him. But by that time, Paul had figured something out. There was a place that he fit. And above all else, in his life, he was going to be in that place because that place was right next to Jesus. But we don't just belong to God. We belong to each other. In Colossians 3:14, it says, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And that word unity is pretty important. It is the word that draws us together. It is the thing that melds us, fastens us to one another. It's not going to be being the same. It's not going to be, you know, we're all ears, we're all eyes, we're all hands, because we're not. It's not going to be we all agree. Clearly we don't. It's going to be God loved me, so I will love you. God loved you, so you will love me. That's the bond. That's what ties us together. Today, if you don't sense belonging, then that's what you need to look at. And as I explain this, I'm going to ask our worship team to come up, prepare to lead us in worshiping the God that we belong to. If you don't sense that in your life, I feel for you. I'll share something to you. When I came to the Lord, I came to the Lord because of a rejection. Now, it was a rejection a 16-year-old had, so if I told you the whole story, you'd roll your eyes and go, seriously? But to a 16-year-old, that was pretty powerful. It was powerful enough to drive me to try to kill myself, because I didn't feel I belonged anywhere to anyone. I was so out of place, I was so disconnected, that the only answer I could see was, I needed to not be there. But someone reached into that. Someone reached into that despair, that disconnectedness, that isolation, and said, you missed something. Because there's someone you do belong to. And they told me about Jesus. And they told me what Jesus had done to make sure that I fit, I belong. To this day, I've never really felt I belonged in any human group. That's a thing built into my psyche that'll probably never go away, but I have always belonged to Jesus. And no matter where I've been, no matter what's going on in my life, I've always known I belong to Him. And then I get to take advantage of the relationships with you, because I belong to Him. If you don't belong, if you've had that same sense of isolation, then I offer you today someone to belong to. Jesus Himself. Because that's what He came to do. To be the reconciliation between you and God, to be the glue that brings you together. And when you do that, you then belong to one another, whether you like it or not. And if you've already accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, then understand you do belong. It's not a matter of wanting to, trying to, you do. It's simply a matter of accepting that. Because once we accept it, then we learn how to live it out. One of the ways that we do that at North Orange is to obey our Lord in remembering why all of this is true. See, none of this would be happening. None of this would be real. The community we're talking about would not exist if it wasn't for Jesus Himself and what He did. And what He did is represented in the tables that have been placed at the end of the aisles. Because He gave His body, literally. He died to pay a penalty that we could not pay, because no matter what happened to us, we owed more. He gave His body. He shed His blood. Blood to seal a new covenant, a new relationship between God and humanity. So on the tables, there's a bowl of bread representing His body, and a cup of juice representing His blood. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as our worship team leads us in the next three songs, they're going to give us plenty of time. Let your heart and your mind focus on the reason we belong, and that is the sacrifice that Jesus made out of love for us. And when it's there, then we invite you to get up and to take a piece of the bread and dip it in the juice and eat it to remind yourself of why we belong. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we ask that you not participate yet. You're welcome here. We love that you're here. But instead, consider the offer that He has made you. that you can belong, but first, you must accept him, not just his forgiveness, but his lordship in your life. During this time, if you would like to worship the Lord and you're prepared to do that by giving your tithe or an offering above the tithe, or you just want to put one of those communication cards or sign-up sheets in the offering, feel free anytime to come forward to put those in the baskets on the platform. And during this time, if there's anything that's weighing on you, something maybe so personal that you just can't get around it, it's distracting you, or if you don't know the Lord and you would like to, then we invite you to go to one of the prayer corners in the back of the room, and one of our leaders is standing in each one, and they're there specifically to stand and to pray with you or to introduce you to our Lord. The reason we belong is because Jesus said we do. He is the one who unites us. So let's stand together and worship him.